Hi, this is Emmanuel Strashnov, and you're listening to Codeless. I hope no code is not a thing 10 years from now. When we started, no code wasn't cool at all. We were kind of the only one telling people, don't learn how to code.
One of the things I love about Bubble is not just the ability to create something from Bubble, but also kind of build on top of Bubble. I don't think we'd be able to do what we do now if we had to hire all the staff that would typically be needed to maintain this kind of product.
I think what's true is that there is a longer learning curve for us than other tools because it's more powerful. You should come visit New York. That's to both of you. But seriously, we should do something in Atlanta.
I can code. I could do all this outside of Bubble if I really wanted to, but I don't want to.
But seriously, we should do something in Atlanta sometime.
Wow, can you believe it? We made it to episode 9. Today's episode is a doubleheader because we have two guests on the show, woven into a blended narrative that I think will help you make the connection with your no-code journey. Whether you're a newbie like me or a more experienced user, there's definitely something to gain here. In the booth today, we have Emmanuel Strashnov from Bubble and Nate Washington from Coins. What's really amazing is how people all over the world can be separated physically by distance, but connected through the web and the work that they do. It's even more impressive when each of our actions have these positive ripple effects. On today's episode, we're bringing those ripples full circle and giving you a little hint of some further waves happening in no code. Yes, Codeless is planning something in Atlanta. We have big partners lined up to collaborate. Speaking of waves in no code, you should definitely be following the No Code Rumble. It's the ultimate no code challenge where 8 makers from around the world build products in just 4 weeks. Bragging rights are up for grabs, as well as the biggest cash bounty I've ever heard about for a no-code challenge, $8,000 US. They're streaming the challenge on Twitter and YouTube, so follow their handle, No-Code Rumble. We'll start with a brief intro from Emmanuel and get right into it. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. I am Emmanuel Strashnov, founder of Bubble, originally from France, even though I left my home country 15 years ago now. We started Bubble to empower people to create things without code. There were so many projects out there that just never happened because people don't find engineers. And so we started with that mission in 2012, and it actually hasn't changed at all today. I think today's need is even bigger than before, and I'm really excited to be here.
Your name sounds very familiar. It's French, but Strashnov, there's something there. Tell us about that.
So my grandfather was born in Prague, but my father was born in France. So fundamentally, I'm very French, and my mom is a French family. But yes, I grew up with a name that is very much not French, which in the US, it's not a thing because people have names from all over the place. In France, it is actually something a little bit more different. So I was always the one with a weird last name in high school. Even teachers would not be able to pronounce my name. My family history in Czech Republic is pretty sad. I mean, they went through the Holocaust. My great grandparents were caught in the camps and stuff like that. It's not necessarily something that I had like a direct connection with as a kid.
Wow, that's interesting. Thank you for telling us that. All right, getting into it, just briefly catch us up on your origin story. Just tell us about everything pre-Bubble and let's just catch us up.
So I was very French growing up. And so what that means is that I was fairly good at math. So I went to the system, the French system that is very math intensive. And the other thing that I had was I was very French is that I thought doing good in the world meant working for the government, which is in the US, people don't think about it in those terms. It's a very different culture. In France, and in fact, you know, top students in France work for the government. And so that's what I did, believe it or not. So what I did after graduating from college, I actually joined some programs in the government to make the world a better place for the French government. If you work for the government, most of the time you're going to spend all of your life in the country, like in France, right? And I wanted to spend a few years abroad. And so I had been exposed to China from a very early age. My parents had made in China, and I wanted to lived there for a bit. And so I negotiated with the government I was working with to spend a few years not working for them, delay basically my start and be in China for a few years. So I was in consulting there. Consulting was never like a passion, but it was a fantastic way to discover the business world, especially in a different culture. So I was very immersed, you know, in Chinese language, Chinese business culture, Chinese colleagues. Like, it was very local. And so I ended spending almost 4 years there. That led me to go to business school in the US, which I never thought I would. And then the business school journey was another journey on its own. I started thinking I wanted to be in finance between China and France. Not exactly sure why, because I've actually never worked in finance. So that would be something interesting to do. I ended having a few offers for internships in between my 2 years, between Harvard, the first and the second year, in finance, spending then the summer in fashion. So I was working for Prada USA in New York. Kind of the chief of staff was the CEO of Prada USA. And it's actually that experience that got me to Bubble. I was like, I'm 29. If I want to start a company, it's better to start when you're young and you don't have family and you know financial pressure. And so looking at like startup ideas or like entrepreneurial ideas in the luxury space or the fashion space basically means building an app or a website if you're not a designer yourself. At that time, I was not technical. I used to be technical as a kid, but I had stopped coding like in, I think when I was 19 or something. So 10 years without writing code. And going through that process, I experienced firsthand the frustration of not finding technical talent. And I eventually found someone at MIT and we started working on some ideas, but then I actually rediscovered something that I had completely forgotten, which is I really loved building digital products. And actually I didn't care much about, you know, the luxury goods. And so after a few, like maybe 2 months working on that idea, I ditched the luxury idea thing and I started looking for a job in what I would call like pure software. And that led me to the end of business school. And literally the day before my job offer expired, I got introduced to Josh, who had started something that it was not called Bubble. It was not incorporated or anything, but he was looking for a co-founder. He had like a very early prototype. And literally over the course of one afternoon, I decided to say no to my job and basically join him. And then, so I did not actually say yes formally that afternoon. I said yes the following morning because I wanted to do a little bit of due diligence on Josh because that was the first time I met him. I did a little bit of due diligence with some mutual friends I found through Facebook. And then I called a lawyer to make sure I was not doing something completely crazy with my immigration status. And then the following morning, I met him again and I said yes. Went back to Boston, sold my furniture, all my furniture, and came back on Monday to work. It's been 8 years now, almost, like not exactly 8 years, like 7 years and 9 months, I guess. It's kind of quite amazing because we didn't know each other. Like it was really kind of a marriage at first sight. So we kind of grew up together and it's been 8 years that I basically see him every day.
It's just an amazing story about how you and Josh came together to do this thing. And for 8 years, you've been working and grinding this out. Did you decide to give up at some point? And then like what told you to continue?
I mean, honestly, giving up was never really an option. Like personally, it was a little bit draining at some point. But from the very early days, actually, we had paying customers. And the fact that they were paying didn't really matter because they didn't pay us enough to live. But the fact that they were paying meant that we're very important for them. But when you have people that pay you $50 a month that are building their businesses on top of you, you can't let them down. Like if we were letting them down, and even though it was hard and we had a lot of challenges, technical challenges, stuff like that. If we were to send an email and tell them, oh, are we going to stop this? You're basically killing like 25 businesses and projects. And that was a responsibility that honestly, I couldn't take.
You were stuck with your customers?
Stuck with our customers and the idea. And we were like, well, it's not like we have an option to do something else. And when people depend on you, sometimes they yell at you if there is a bug, but they also send you a lot of love. And all those things, you know, keep you going. So that was the fun part. And but yeah, I mean, quitting was never an option.
So talking about Bubble, first of all, like, what is it? And did you and Josh almost 8 years ago know what it was? And how is that different today?
So what Bubble is, it's a no-code tool because now no-code has become a thing. When we started, no-code wasn't cool at all. We were kind of the only one telling people, don't learn how to code. So what it is, it's a visual interface that lets you build web applications. It's actually very customizable compared to the other tools. And once you've spent that initial time to learn it, you basically can do the same thing as if you were coding. And that's actually what makes us different. We are probably the only tool that is open-ended to the level where we are, which also means something interesting that it's truly programming. That's actually why we call ourselves visual programming, meaning you can make mistakes. You can make bugs in a Bubble app. which is not necessarily something that you can do in other tools. So because you can make mistakes, this is programming and there is more learning. So the problem that we have today is kind of what we envisioned in 2012. We haven't pivoted too much. We've always targeted the same people, non-technical founders trying to start companies. The product was always the same. The medium we chose, which was web for web applications, is something that we didn't budge on. When we started in 2012, it was actually not obvious. Like a lot of people at that time were saying you need to do native applications. Today, it's actually different.
So what were the circumstances that you think allowed Bubble to be born? What were the things that were around at the time that gave you some impetus intrinsically or something you saw extrinsically in the design of the product itself?
People have tried to build Bubble basically for the last 30 or 40 years. Apple tried HyperCard, Yahoo had Yahoo Pipes, Visual Basic was a way to make programming more accessible. So there's been a ton of people that tried to do this. What make it possible is two things. The fact that the web also was becoming a standard that could apply on any kind of devices was making our life much easier, you know, compared to before we'd have different operating systems and you have phones and you have laptops and all those things. Stuff like JavaScript and jQuery have made things easier, but that's, I think, getting technical. There is another thing that is more like a market dynamic that made it much easier to iterate on the product in the early days that I think was difficult before. By definition, when you build something like Bubble, it's going to be limited at first. And it's still today. Bubble is limited compared to writing code. We have removed a lot of the limitations, but you still have some limitations. Today, we're in a good place, but for the first 4 or 5 years, we had a ton of limitations. But at that time, what was happening is that the pressure to find engineers was so strong, so high, that people were willing to compromise on their ideas a little bit to use a product like Bubble, which I think in the 90s was not possible. In the 90s, like if you had a limited product and someone was trying to build something, engineers were not that hard to find. So the people would just be like, maybe your solution is cool in 2 years, but I'll come back in 2 years. And in the meantime, I'll find some engineers. What we saw between 2012 and today is that people are so unable to find engineers that they're willing to work with your solution, even though it has some limitations at first, and they grow with you. And the value of that is twofold. First of all, well, you can create a business. And also the other thing is people can iterate on your product. So you get feedback very frequently.
What's been the feedback from your customers and what are some of your success stories on Bubble around the world?
The most touching thing we hear is you made my business possible. And that is the most like heartwarming thing because it changes the lives of people. Like this solar panel financing platform in San Francisco that sells loans for solar panels to homeowners. And they built like a very advanced complex product where you have homeowners, installers, and investors on this platform. They've processed over $1 billion of business volume.
What's it called?
It's called Dividend Finance. We have other cases, like there is a startup in Paris that started on us. They scaled to something like almost $1 million of AR, raised around. They actually left because the investors were like, well, now that you have money, you should hire a CTO and do things the right way. And then they raised another round. I think they raised about like $20 million in total. And guess what? They're actually migrating back to us. Whether you're rich or poor, engineers don't work faster. And it takes a very long time to build a product. And no code is much faster. It's a much more efficient way to build software because you can literally go probably like 20 times faster. Like if you know how to use Bubble well, you can build a very functional MVP of a marketplace of some kind in like a week or something, or like 3 days, while an engineer would actually take much more time for that.
It seems like having your customers leave is not a bad thing. Like they grow, but then the customers come back because of right. The efficiency of working in Bubble.
Overall, the people leaving used to be a problem 2-3 years ago. Today, we don't see that as much. Like people tend to stick around for quite some time, even when they start scaling.
Huh. Who could that be? Hold on while I get that. Hey, who is it?
Hi, my name is Nate Washington, and I'm the co-founder and CTO of Coins and the founder of Codeless Academy. Coins is a financial app that helps consumers improve their financial situation through education and automation, primarily focused on paying off debt faster. We launched in 2017, and to date, we've helped consumers pay off over $11 million worth of debt. Codeless Academy is a platform designed to help people make no-code and low-code apps faster and easier than ever.
Hey, Nate, I was expecting you. Come on in.
So speaking about success stories around the world, I definitely want to introduce you to one of your users. And for us, a shining light in Atlanta, there's a company really cool. It's called Coins, like coins and money, but it's spelled Q-O-I-N-S. And I've brought Nate Washington in on the interview. Hey, Nate, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I am awesome. So, Nate, you have the floor. Tell us a little bit about your company and what got you to this point.
Yeah, yeah. So first off, excited to be here and kind of listen to a lot of what Emmanuel said in that last segment, because it resonated with me and just how I've been using Bubble over the last, I think, 5 years or so. I got into building startups and things like that around like 2014, 2015. Back in high school, I started kind of like casually like learning how to code myself and wanted to become a video game programmer at some point. But I had a career shift. When I got back into tech and wanted to build startups, et cetera, I kind of stumbled across Bubble and kind of like the whole no-code movement. I didn't really have any experience doing a lot of different things. And the no-code movement and Bubble allowed us to build what we were working on. So built a couple different startups prior to Coins, which is what I'm working on now. And then Coins is a financial app that helps consumers pay off debt faster, get back on track, improve their credit, save money, things like that. So we launched that in January 2017 is when we launched it to the public. Everything completely built on Bubble from the get-go. And even now, we still use Bubble completely on our back end. I like to champion Bubble and other no-code products a lot because for myself, I can code, but also I use no-code products as a way to kind of bridge the gap and be a little more efficient. So what Emmanuel said in that last section about being able to do things on Bubble much faster than you would traditionally, it's 100% true. And it allows us to remain lean and do what we do.
All right. So I just love this company because you spend money at a grocery store, they take the change and they put it in an account for you and you can make contributions to that account. But every month they make a payment on your loans for you. So you're helping people get out of debt. How much money have you processed?
Yeah, so right now we're at just right around $11 million in total debt paid off for our customers. So yeah, like you said, rounding up purchases to the next dollar. So you go to the store, spend $3.50. We'll round it up to $4 and take that 50 cents. Over time, we actually started introducing other ways for people to contribute towards paying off their debt faster as well. So we rolled out a feature called When I Get Paid, which is basically like payroll deductions. So every time we see you get a paycheck, you tell us like, hey, take 10% or 5% or take a flat amount. And we automatically apply that towards your debt as well. And then this year, actually a couple months ago, January, we actually rolled out financial coaching as well. So one of the things that we saw with a lot of our customers was we can help them pay off a ton of debt. Let's say we help somebody pay off $1,500 on their credit card. A lot of people, if they don't really understand their finances or don't really have like an emergency fund or any kind of savings, as soon as something comes up, they put the money right back on the credit card that they just paid off, right? Yeah. So we rolled out financial coaching at a price point that's really not being done today. And so far, our customers have loved it. They're able to just send a text message to a financial coach whenever they have questions about their finances or want to talk about the goals that they want to achieve and things like that. So kind of moving beyond just rounding up and really becoming a fully fledged, I guess, mature financial product. We've been saying we're putting the personal back in personal finance.
Nice, nice. All right. So, Emmanuel, I know you're crushed not to be working for the French government doing good, but like you're doing good here. You created something and this ripple effect now is doing good, helping people pay off debt. What do you think about that?
This is exactly why we're building something like Bubble. There is a compound effect because each native of the world that comes with an idea like this has its own effect. And so creating the tool that lets people do this is like the best thing in the world.
That's great. I wanted to ask you, Nate, I know you're working on something that's sort of old and sort of new. We'll talk about it later, but could you intro that?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of funny because I know we talked about it before. It's a separate brand that I have called Codeless Academy, which obviously the name of this podcast is Codeless. But in the past, years ago, I did like some online courses and things like that that would teach people different things about Bubble. I stopped having time for that around the time we started Coins because we were just so busy being full-time on that. But one of the things I love about Bubble is not just the ability to create something from Bubble, but also kind of build on top of Bubble. So Bubble's obviously been super focused on like the website of things, but I've always kind of had like a soft spot for the native mobile side of things. So Codeless Academy is essentially going to be releasing a lot of new tools, plugins essentially, that the Bubble community uses, as well as a native app converter. So it's not the first time it's been done, but cool things like Face ID, Touch ID, and stuff like that, and basically allowing Bubble apps to be able to leverage those.
Iman, I don't have anything to say. What do you think?
I mean, this is great. I wish, honestly, we could offer that natively. It's just we're not there yet. And so it's great when the community helps overcoming the things that are still missing. My hope is that we'll start getting into native apps like seriously next year. The kind of things that Net is doing work pretty well. If we do it natively, that would work even better. We unfortunately don't have the time right now to do that. In general, I want to really nail the web, and nailing the web means working very fast in production, which is the last thing that I think that is missing today. Performance could be a little bit better. If you know exactly what you're doing, it's very fast, but sometimes our users make non-optimal design decisions that we need to optimize behind the scene. And that's why we're spending most of our time right now. Once we're done with this, then it will be the right time to go to native.
Got it. All right, so I want to bring something up here, and we're going to actually touch on using Bubble and how easy that might be. But here's my context. So in Atlanta, in no code especially, the issue is not that no code is valuable or not. It's irrefutable that it is. However, the big question that people always ask is like, how do I get in? And one thing that we've done here in Atlanta, especially with a lot of the folks that I work with, is we look at no code and tools in terms of tiers. So there's like you're starting today, you don't know anything. You start with Card, Airtable, Table to Site, Sheet to Site, Glide. That's like tier one. Tier two, you're talking a lot of your front end, but maybe even like higher end automation. You're thinking like Webflow, Integromat, Parabola, Zapier, MemberStack, right? And then Bubble, we kind of put Bubble in like a tier three of like Bubble Builder, Clutch, and like a lot of like very high performance tools. And that pyramid structure is actually created by a buddy of mine, KP out of Atlanta. And my question for you is, what do you think about that construct, and how would you say that Bubble is different or similar? I want both of you to answer these questions. I'll start with Emmanuel.
I think what's true is that there is a longer learning curve for us than other tools because it's more powerful. And so I think that pyramid you're describing is basically how much time it takes to get it. On the flip side, though, all the other tools, you're gonna be limited by the features that they have, and then you're gonna have to leave at some point, which is something you don't have to do with us. Honestly, I mean, I'd rather be everywhere. I think because we're basically replacing the whole stack. We're a full stack replacement. So when I see people using Webflow, Airtable, and Zapier, and MemberStack to do something, it sounds very complicated and not necessarily super reliable. Well, you could do all of that on Bubble, and then that works better. I think the job is on our side to make the product easier to learn. I certainly want to keep being the tool that has more functionality, because if you look in history over the last 30 years of people trying to create software that enable people to create their own things, all the tools did not work because they are limited. And at some point, the important things, like important applications that need a lot of customization, will leave. So I want to make sure that does not happen with us. So we keep that feature set, but then we'll invest in just making the thing easier, which, by the way, is not necessarily changing the product. That also, you know, means a better documentation.
Got it. Nate, what do you think about that construct?
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. I think from like the sound of things, the tier one, tier two tools are things that are kind of maybe work together that you can kind of use together or combine with other services to kind of achieve your goal. Whereas tier three kind of like stands alone, like it can be kind of its own full suite. But yeah, I mean, I completely agree.
Okay, let me ask you this now. Let me take it in a different way.
One very important thing for us philosophically is to make sure the platform is as open as possible. So I said we are full stack replacement, but you can connect with any kind of APIs with us more so than other tools. And that's something that I think is very important to be used in conjunction with traditional software. Like, it's not like no-code will replace everything overnight. So you have to be able to create something that will live with all the things in the stack. For instance, the kind of thing that Nate is doing with a custom iOS app. That's what you're doing, Nate, right? You're using Bubble for the backend right now, right?
Correct, yeah.
Right. So being able to do that is something very important in the long term to make sure you don't lock people in.
Got it. All right. So we talked about levels, and Emmanuel, you talked about your customers being non-technical founders and how you love for people to build businesses using Bubble, right? So one other thing is that within no code, there seems to be like three different tracks of no code. So on one track, you've got like your indie hacker creating cool tools for like a small lifestyle business to get some additional income. That's cool. You've got another track where it's like startups, companies, small, medium businesses, agencies that are either building businesses on tools or trying out pilots to expand past their MVP, right? And then you've got a third track where, and this is one that I'm really noticing that's coming to the fore quite a bit now, is this idea of corporate organizations, business, no code in organizations that are really working at large scale transformation. What's your thought on this? Is it a thing, and how do you play in that space?
Sorry, what's the third one you said? Sorry.
More of like the corporate no code. These are professionals. I tend to call them heroes, but these are people in companies, like really large companies, and they're bringing in no code to make their time more efficient and to make their work at big companies even better.
I think that's fair. I would add one category though, which is the person, like not the indie hacker. Like indie hacker is someone that usually would do something on the side. What we see is that most of our serious users actually are 100% like full-time on Bubble, being on Bubble like maybe 8 hours a day or something, and building their businesses on top of us. So calling them indie hacker is not necessarily fair because they're actually very committed. Usually they don't raise money because they don't have to, because they don't need to find engineers. That's a category that for us, I mean, this is of all the categories you mentioned, is actually the most important one. We don't have a ton of people in corporate. I mean, we do, but then the challenge is that they use us, and that sometimes they reach out because they want to start using us more in the corporate world. And then we have most of the time to tell them that we don't officially support enterprise. Like enterprise comes with a bunch of requirements around compliance and stuff like that we don't support right yet.
Nate, what's your thought on this idea of these like three different tracks? Is this something you're seeing?
I belong to a couple of those tracks myself over time. Not necessarily the corporate side of things, because I haven't worked for a big company or anything like that, nor use Bubble in that way. But I remember when I first started using Bubble, I, as Emmanuel mentioned, I was kind of full-time on it. I'd spend hours and hours a day. I had a day job that I would go to and then come home at 9 p.m. and then stay up until like 3 a.m. working on Bubble or learning how to do certain things, just trying to get better and better at it. But as that kind of evolved, and even before Coins, my first few ideas, I really started trying to build like a full business on it. Like, how can I build something that customers really want to use, that can scale up and potentially raise money someday? Or even how can I use what I've learned through using Bubble to kind of help other people, help get them started, whether it's offering advice, whether it's creating something that makes things easier for them. But yeah, so I agree. There's obviously a bunch of different reasons why people will use Bubble or use no code solutions. But at the end of the day, as long as you're trying to build something, you're off to a good start.
All right. So moving on, just talking about founders and especially non-technical founders, what would be your best advice for folks looking to start a business on no code? Nate, I'll let you go first.
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is really just getting started, right? I think the beauty of the no code movement is that it takes out a lot of the excuses that people have typically given themselves, right? As to why they don't get started. Like, oh, I have this idea. If only I knew somebody that could build it for me, or if only I knew somebody to help me get started or something like that, right? Even today, with all these solutions out there, you can get out there, build an MVP, validate your idea for almost no money. There's obviously some business models where you will require maybe some upfront cash, but but it just provides a way in a low risk environment to really get your idea in the hands of people and start getting feedback. Because that's the most important thing, right? Your idea is nothing until you have people using it and giving you feedback and telling you, this is something I would use, this is something I wouldn't use, this is what I would change, I wish it had this, right? And even for me, working on some of my early ideas, they were ideas that maybe weren't completely original, right? No idea is original. Everybody's had an idea for something before. But you get it out there, you get a little bit of traction, and then over time, either it works or it doesn't. And sometimes you realize that it's not working because maybe a year in or something like that, you've kind of lost a little bit of the passion for building that product at some point. But if that happens, you've got the same tools that you can then go out and validate another idea. I've had multiple ideas over the years, and having these tools available to me has allowed me to validate them in a faster way and maybe move on to the next one and not waste as much time or money in a way that I couldn't have before.
That's cool. Emmanuel, what about you? Advice for founders looking to build a business on no code?
You don't have any excuse not to do it anymore. The advice I would give is specifically for Bubble, spend some time learning the tool a little bit before jumping right in. I know sometimes people are really excited about just starting to do something. In practice, what we see very clearly with our users is that the people that would take the lessons and spend a few hours figuring out how that works before jumping into building usually end up having a better experience and a better product eventually built on us. Use a pen and a paper actually to start thinking about what you want to build before jumping right in. I think works very well. And then iterate on the product very quickly, because now with no code, it's so fast to iterate on your product that you can get feedback. Your product can literally change every 3 days if you need to. And so make the best use of that. And the last thing I'd say, because it's a pattern I've started noticing, what's interesting with Bubble is that we turn people into engineers, sometimes with the bad things that engineers tend to do, which is spend too much time on their product and not enough trying to market their product. So think about how you acquire users. Like, tweaking your application is important. Like, making it like perfect and beautiful is very important. But make sure you spend some time, you know, acquiring users.
That's good. Thanks for adding that. So Emmanuel, I want you to basically like take the mic, and you have a customer in Nate. Interview Nate. Like, ask him the stuff that you want to ask. So here you go.
The question I'll ask is, what is the biggest issue you're having in Bubble right now?
The biggest issue I'm having in Bubble right now. One of the biggest things I wish we could do from the plugin builder would be to return JSON objects on client side. But I think I kind of understand why it's not possible right now, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there, it's a security problem. If we allow that, we would open the door to a lot of bad things.
Right, yeah.
Like returning an object from the client is fine. The problem is using it to save it to the database. Data operations don't happen on the client, obviously. So exactly. It has to be server side. Overall, our plugin system is okay. It's not great. It is honestly not on purpose, but we are aware of that, and we haven't pushed too hard there. Our take is that we need to really nail the experience and growth on the no-code part of the tool. It's much easier to convince developers to work and add plugins to your platform if you have a lot of users. So I want to close the number of users first, and then we'll focus on making that experience better. I'm aware it's not great. It does probably 80% of what's needed, but the last 20% can be pretty frustrating.
Sure. Good. Yeah.
I'm so glad to, you know, have heard from you. It's just amazing to hear your story. I'd love to one day come back and tell you, hey, Emmanuel, I'm on Bubble, and see what I did. So thank you for making it. Thank you for slugging it out for 8 years while nobody necessarily knew what you were doing. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. That was it was great to be here. You should come visit New York. Actually, that's to both of you. But seriously, we should do something in Atlanta sometime.
All right. I'll let you take time, sign off, and then I'll keep talking to Nate.
Cool. See you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, Nate. So how was that? How did you like that?
It was good. It was good. I've emailed back and forth with Emmanuel over the years, but first time actually like talking to him. So like a couple years ago, we went up to New York, and I actually got to stop by the office of the Bubble team and meet a few people and things like that. He was out that day.
Yeah.
But I got to meet his co-founder. And I always love like talking about them, because Like even now, like I can code, I could do all this outside of Bubble if I really wanted to, but I don't want to. There's a lot of like, I feel like traditional developers, like when I try to explain what Bubble is to them or like why we're using it or things like that, they maybe like turn their nose up a little bit at it. But yeah. At the end of the day, we've got a working product that's helping thousands of people. We're able to work efficiently with it. And so I just love raving about it. Even if you can code, it doesn't mean that you can't be a part of the no code movement.
All right, Nate. So Emmanuel's gone. Let's get into the stuff that you're working on, Coalesce Academy. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it started in 2016. It's an online course platform. So I would teach people how to convert their Bubble app into a mobile app, or how to maybe use Stripe and Bubble together, or how to like create an Instagram clone. And those courses are actually still up. They're a little outdated at this point just because they were created years ago. But as the years have gone on with Coins, which is obviously what I'm working on full time, I said, I want to kind of get back into working on Coalesce Academy and creating things for the Bubble community and kind of helping to push that forward, right? So within that time, Bubble released their plugin builder, which allows you to go in and code and do certain things to create plugins for the community. So for me, I wanted to do that, but then I also wanted to create a way for people to convert their Bubble apps into native mobile apps, or as close to native mobile apps as possible. It's not the first time it's been done. There's definitely been a few other people who have done it throughout the Bubble community, but I wanted to do it in a way that allowed people to tap into features that they typically haven't been able to in Bubble in the past.
Can you explain, with the capability of Bubble right now, this issue of native apps? Like, there's some people that have never like played with this and they don't understand what this like movement is. Can you explain the difference between what Bubble does now and this future of being able to use it to build native apps?
Yeah. So Bubble now is pretty much just focused on web applications. So you go on to Bubble, you use the editor, you drag and drop, you build something. And then when you're ready to test it or deploy it to the general public, you have your URL, right, that you then go plug into your web browser and it brings up your Bubble app, right? So everything you just built is right there. You can use it, other people can use it, et cetera, right? The difference between there and using kind of that natively, so if we think about the apps that we have on our phones, right, that we use every day, so your Facebooks, Instagrams, et cetera, those are all native apps. They're native to the device or platform that they are on. So essentially what we're doing, and this is the big first launch or undertaking of the new Coalesce Academy, is allowing you or allowing a Bubble user to do what they normally do in Bubble, which is build that app, drag and drop, but then take that URL that they then get as a result and put it into something that then displays that same app on an iPhone as if it was like a native app like Facebook or Instagram or something like that that you would typically use today. And the idea there is for people to not be able to even tell the difference that it was built on the web. So
got it. How easy should that be right now?
It should be very easy, which is why I'm doing it with Coalesce Academy. But it's not completely a simple thing to do. Obviously, Bubble's a platform that has code underlying, right? It's a no-code platform, but it's run on code. And it's the same thing with this, right? There's certain small intricacies that have to be accounted for. What we're doing is what's called a wrapper, kind of like wrapping paper, right? So it's essentially creating a native app that is a shell that basically has your Bubble app inside of it. And if you think about those as two different layers, essentially we're creating a way for the two layers to communicate back and forth with each other.
But you're also changing the visual interface. It's no longer like a web browser page, correct?
No, it is. It is.
It is, okay.
So whatever you build with your Bubble app to display, however you build your product, you complete it, whatever your user interface is, it's going to be the exact same user interface. It's just going to be packaged into a native app yeah. that people can then go download from the App Store, which opens up new opportunities, right? Because obviously SEO is a thing on the web, but ASO or App Store optimization is a thing in the App Store as well. And you can offer certain things. So whether that's features such as being able to authenticate with like Face ID for your Bubble app, right? You can't do that on the web, but you have to have a native app to be able to do that. Or to be able to use like Apple Pay or something like that, right? Which Apple Pay on the web is a thing now.
And you pretty much predict that it has to go this way.
No, I don't think it necessarily has to go this way, right? One of the things that Emmanuel said is 100% true, and that maybe like 3-4 years ago, native apps were what everybody wanted, right? Whereas now it seems like there is a little bit of a more of a shift now back towards some web applications and things like that. But native applications are not going away anytime soon. They absolutely serve a purpose. And there's also certain types of products or certain categories where people prefer having kind of like a native style app. So I'll use us as an example at Coins, right? So when we built our MVP on Bubble, we were web only and we're just completely focused on that. Then about 3 or 4 months in, people started saying like, hey, I really wish this was available in the App Store. I really wish I could just download this or something like that instead of having to go to the website every time I want to log in or something like that, right? So you got to give the people what they want, right?
Right. Okay. So with Codeless Academy, like what's your timeline now? Like when do you plan to like have this revamp, relaunch?
So within the next 1 to 2 weeks, all of the new content is going to be up. And we'll be fully live with that. I'll probably have some teasers on the site by the end of the week. It's codelessacademy.com. So the mobile app piece is kind of like the first part of it. And then as I mentioned, there's some other plugins and things that are kind of in the works behind the scenes. So there's a lot that can be done within the community of Bubble for plugins. There's a lot that can be done well, and kind of excited to take a stab at that and try to make people's no-code journey a little bit easier.
That's great. Speaking about you and kind of just like the skills you've developed now, like to me, like you're way up here right now, right? Like I want to be there, but here's my point. What's like the easiest thing you could teach a noob like me to do in Bubble right now?
Sure. So there's a couple, right? So one, like creating like a login flow or something like that. If you're building something where you want your users to have any kind of accounts, that's kind of like the first step. And it's super easy to do in Bubble. Also using like maps, so kind of to display locations. So that's a really popular one, right? So whether it's showing locations or dropping pins, things like that, there's a really good built-in kind of map that Bubble uses that's pretty straightforward. And then beyond that, processing payments. Over time, that's become so much easier in Bubble. It's literally, maybe you want to process a credit card with Stripe, right? Maybe it's as simple as installing the plugins, putting in the credentials that you get from Stripe, and then just hooking it up to a button.
What can the community do to help you with this endeavor with Codeless Academy?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing would be feedback. I'm getting back into building things for the community after a hiatus. So while I think I know what people want, it's always nice to hear feedback about what people actually want. But you don't really know until you get it out there, until you get it in the hands of people, what they actually want or what your product is ultimately going to become, right? So I kind of look at it that way. And for me, I'm always looking for beta testers as well for some of the like plugins and things like that I'm going to be building. So if anybody out there is a Bubble user and you know is interested in kind of getting some early access or a sneak peek to some stuff, let me know.
How can beta testers and just people interested in vibing with you, connecting with you, how can they contact you?
Yeah. So a couple different ways. So if you want to contact me through Codeless Academy, you can contact me through email nate@codelessacademy.com. If you want to reach out to me on Twitter, my Twitter handle is @nwashjr2. I'd say those are probably the two best ways to contact me for no code stuff.
Last question. What's a question that I haven't asked you that you wish I did?
I'd say probably more along the lines of maybe like no code solutions with like traditional developers, right? Because that's something I feel like really, really strongly about, because obviously no code tools are typically marketed towards, you know, non-technical people or people who want to get out there and validate an idea or build an MVP. But they can be so valuable to traditional developers as well. And I don't think that these tools get enough credit for how much easier they can make everyone's lives. So for me and for us, really talking about Coins, we have always had a very small, lean team. You know, even after we raised money a year and a half ago, we've stayed kind of lean. We were bootstrapped for 2 years prior to that. And I don't think we'd be able to do what we do now if we had to hire all the staff that would typically be needed to maintain this kind of product. I get the question every now and then, coming from like traditional developers, are you still using Bubble? When are you thinking about moving off of them or things like that? And my answer is always, well, I don't really have plans to move away from Bubble right now, just because it does everything that we need it to do and it's scaled up with us nicely. And it's allowed us, like I said, to not have to go out and hire an entire engineering team, which obviously can be costly.
Let me ask you this. How much of a multiple are we talking in terms of Bubble versus you having to hire a team? How much of a multiple in terms of resources would you have had to spend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, traditionally, we'd probably be talking three to four more people, all making six figures. So, I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars a year that Bubble is saving. I'm incredibly productive on Bubble. You know, we've got some partnerships with some other companies for Coins. And one of them that we're working with, they needed like a landing page or something like that, that has like some branding for the partnership or things like that. I mean, it took me like 3.5 hours to just knock out. Wow. From like literally nothing, from opening a blank page and just creating, adding the designs on, wiring up the functionality to collect the information that was needed and everything like that. I mean, it's just a matter of hours. I think I took like a lunch break or something like that.
That's amazing. But, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for having me on. I'm happy I could come on. Have a good day.
You too.
Well, that concludes this episode. I had an absolute ball doing the interviews, and I hope you learned something new. If you'd like to skip to the predictions after these closing credits, please go ahead. But before you close your listening device, please rate and review us on your listening platform. It helps us get discovered by more people like you who want to unlock creativity and accelerate transformation. Don't forget to follow the No Code Rumble. It's 8 makers, 4 weeks, and $8,000. Wow. You can reach me on Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Instagram through the Codeless Podcast handle. Just search for Codeless Podcast and you can't miss us. All music provided through the appropriate licensing and permissions. Big thanks for the music to Steph Skilly, Bobby Oddsock, RMark1313, Raising Sounds, and prod.nocredit. You can find more information and links in the show notes.
But seriously, we should do something in Atlanta sometime. So the no-code movement is something very important, because fundamentally, the real issue we're trying to solve here is so many people in the world could be having easier tools or better ways, you know, to work or solve problems through technology. And if we don't solve it, the rift between people that can create technologies and people that can just like use it and not create it is going to get bigger and bigger, to the point where it's going to end badly. My hope for no code in the next 10 years is that it does not exist anymore. What I hope is that 10 years from now, building things just happens through a visual interface, which just be the way you build things. And if you need some time to get more granular control, you start writing code. So it's a little bit of an interesting way to see it, but I hope no code is not a thing 10 years from now.
So it's been really interesting watching the no-code movement pick up steam over the past decade. It's allowed a lot of non-technical people to build great products that they otherwise might not have been able to in the past. And the really cool thing about this movement is that there's something out there for everyone, right? So whether you are looking to validate an MVP, whether you're looking to build a real business, or maybe you're technical and you're just looking for a more efficient way to do something that you might have done differently in the past, the no-code movement definitely has something out there for everyone. I think over the next decade, we're going to start to see a lot of no-code products become just as common, if not more common, than their coded counterparts. Not everyone really wants to learn how to code or really wants to learn different programming languages, but that shouldn't stop them from being able to build a great business if they have a great idea. I think we already have a few examples of successful companies that are built on no-code solutions, and as those companies continue to be successful, it's just going to open the door for other companies to come behind them and kind of carry that torch.